Deutsche Welle, Africa Link.
Time check in our studios is 8:05 and 7:05 in Accra. A very good morning to you and welcome to Deutsche Welle's Africa Link program this Monday, the 5th, 2015. I'm Isaac Mugabe, your host in Bonn, Germany. Coming up, Zambia's ruling party, the Patriotic Front, embarks on the campaign trail for the presidential by-election scheduled to take place in 2 weeks. What are their chances of winning the election?
Their chances really are 50-50 because the other opposition parties, for instance, the United Party for National Development, the FDD and others have been campaigning, whilst the Patriotic Front has been wasting a lot of time with a lot of infighting.
A suicide bomber detonates a bomb-filled car in Mogadishu, Somalia, killing 4 civilians.
We know that it was a suicide bombing targeting a Somali security convoy on the highway leading to the international airport.
These stories, plus a segment of our ongoing Crossroads Generations, coming up in the next 25 minutes. Stay tuned.
Top story.
Zambia's ruling party, the Patriotic Front, has joined the campaign trail after long delays due to succession struggle within the party. The Southern African nation will go to the polls on January 20th in an election already marred by violence. On Sunday, police arrested 4 people in connection with the violence that took place late last week in the northern district of Chinsali. Zambia's presidential post fell vacant after former leader Michael Sata died in October last year. Vice President Guy Scott, who has Scottish parentage, was appointed to take the country through the transition period. And because of his parentage, he's barred from running, clearing the way for Defence Minister Edgar Lungu to run as presidential candidate for the ruling PF. Before we came on air, Abubakar Jallow spoke to DW's Kathy Sikombe in Lusaka on the chances of the ruling party winning the by-election.
I must say that their chances really are 50-50 because the other opposition parties, for instance, the United Party for National Development, the FDD and others have been campaigning, whilst the Patriotic Front has been wasting a lot of time with a lot of infightings. So this is going to be a very, very tight race. So it could go either way. There's still a camp which is being run by the former defense minister, Geoffrey Mwamba, who's got a lot of financial muscle. And this is the man that contributed a lot financially to the Patriotic Front. And surprisingly, he is supporting the opposition leader, who is Hakainde Hichilema, the president for the opposition United Party for National Development. And then also the Patriotic Front has suffered also another blow by the fact that the former Secretary General, Winter Kabimba, has formed the Rainbow Party. And so some people have gone to the Rainbow Party.
In other words, you're saying that the chances of the ruling party is very low in these elections.
It's very, very tight because whilst they were fighting, the opposition was making inroads in the rural areas and campaigning. It's very, very difficult to say who is going to carry the day because the opposition party, in particular, the United Party for National Development, has done a lot of work. And just a recent opinion poll that was done by a private television station, Movie TV, and based on their viewership, was putting Hakainde Hichilema at 81%, followed by Edgar Lungu at about 51%. So really, the race is going to be very, very tight between Edgar Lungu and Hakainde Hichilema.
Now, let's talk about election moods in Zambia in general. We also have another event, that is the African Cup of Nations. It's also knocking on the door. Are Zambians really interested in politics at the moment?
They are more interested in the elections and as well as football. You know, Zambians love football so much, I must say. But also, I think people are beginning to realize now that in the past, they've been taken for a ride. So Zambians also have awoken from their slumber and they want leaders that will represent them and check their interests. So people are talking about politics every day.
Kathy Sikombi speaking from Lusaka. So what are the chances of this election being free and fair? And how has Zambia transitioned from the one-party state of President Kenneth Kaunda to the multi-party nation it is today? To answer these questions, Abubakar Jallo called McDonald Chipenzi, an analyst and director of the political think tank Zambia Foundation for Democratic Process.
Well, I think changes have been so visible in the sense that under UNIP, there only existed one party, that is United National Independence Party. The only pressure group, the only avenues for checks and balances were the trade unions and indeed the student unions. The rest were not existing. Even NGOs were not there. So a lot has changed. And this time around, we have so many political parties. As you can see, even this presidential by-election, we have 11 candidates, which translates to 11 political parties.
So what are the possibilities that these coming elections will be free and fair?
Well, I mean, we are yet to see whether the coming elections will be free and fair. But of course, we've raised a number of issues as Foundation for Democratic Process. And one of the issues that we've raised is the fact that one of the candidates, that is the Patriotic Front presidential candidate, remains Minister of Defense, Minister of Justice, and Member of Parliament. And under his ministerial position, this is the person that has not taken leave and drawing a government salary. So that is already not leveling the playing field. Not only that, he is in charge of a key ministry, defense and justice. It means that the violence, the spate of violence that we are seeing today could be dealt properly if the minister was not also a political candidate.
So despite the actions of Edgar Lungu that you were talking about there, are you optimistic about these elections that Zambia will remain democratic?
Well, the beauty with Zambians is that regardless of what others do or what politicians do, once they make up their mind, they will definitely deliver the results to the person that deserves them.
Political analyst McDonald Chipenzi on the line there from Lusaka.
Get the stories that are shaping the continent here on Africa Link.
Has Boko Haram surfaced in Ghana, or is it just a copycat? Now, the Ghanaian police are trying to disband a vigilante group in the country's eastern region. The group calls itself Boko Haram after the Islamist sect in Nigeria, which has been terrorizing the civilian population in the northeast. The Ghanaian vigilante group has been operating in small Muslim communities and has been forcing women to wear clothes that cover their entire body. A video of the group showing a group of men apparently beating a female teenager has sparked outrage in Ghana. Isaac Kalechi Nakra has more details.
The vigilante group, which has been operating for months now, was formed with the backing of elders of the Muslim community in Akim Ofuasi in eastern Ghana. Their mandate, according to elders of the Muslim community, was to ensure security and discipline according to the teachings of Islam. One of these elders backing the group's activities is Buhari Abubakar.
The vigilante group's first operation was to ensure that they fish all children of school-going age from the various gambling and game centers and ensure that they are in school. So our second operation was to ensure that children who attend wakekeeping should stop. And so one night, the group arrested a lady, a JSS1 student, who was in town around 12 o'clock in the night. She's from the Zongo community, but she was found in the Christian community. Because we have said that right after 9:30, no child or school going in should be outside.
The lady Abubakar talks about was lashed several times by members of the group nicknamed Boko Haram because of its style of operations similar to the Islamist sect in Nigeria. But police have arrested some members of the vigilante group and are now focused to disband it completely. Ghana's Interior Minister Mark Oyongo said the police can prevent such activities if Ghanaians work with the police.
What is happening in Nigeria, if people were very conscious of their security and they were reporting the movements of Boko Haram, the situation would have been different. We have the security agencies, but help the security agencies to secure the peace and security that we all cherish in this country.
But community leader Abubakar denies that the actions of their vigilante group are similar to Boko Haram in Nigeria.
We are looking at reformation of children who are going wayward. Because there were achievements within 3 months. So if indeed this group is a bad group with a bad intention, I don't think those achievements that we outlined will come out.
Security analyst Daniel Kondo agrees the vigilantes should be disbanded. He argued the situation could get out of control if their operations are not curtailed immediately.
There is cause for alarm and there is greater cause for concern. As soon as these people assume this name, they began to act in ways that are reflective of how Boko Haram people act. And that is why it wasn't surprising that they took the law into their own hands to lash a woman. And I think that is lawlessness. They could go further to do extremely serious and damaging things.
That report was filed by Isaac Kalechi from Accra. And you're listening to Africa Link program coming to you from Deutsche Welle Studios here in Bonn, Germany. Now, a suicide car bomber in Somalia's capital, Mogadishu, blew himself up near a fast-moving convoy of security personnel, killing at least 4 civilians. Police said the bomber rammed his car into another near the capital's heavily fortified international airport. Eyewitnesses say sporadic gunfire took place after the explosion. A pro-militant radio station, Andalus, said a senior Al-Shabaab member, Sheikh Mohammed Abdul Abdallah, had claimed responsibility for the incident. Abubakar Jallo spoke to Mohammed Odoa, a freelance journalist, about the attack, but because of the poor quality lines in Somalia, his answers have been voiced over.
We know that it was a suicide bombing targeting a Somali security convoy on the highway leading to the international airport. A Somali security officer I spoke to told me that at least 6 people have been killed, including 4 Somali security officers. I believe 2 civilians have been killed and others were wounded. We are still waiting for more information from the security forces.
Is this attack similar to previous attacks carried out by the Islamist group Al-Shabaab?
Yes, and Al-Shabaab claimed the responsibility for this attack. They said they will really step up such attacks against the Somali security forces, and they want to undermine the security forces because these are US-trained security forces, and they say that they are the eyes and ears of the African Union presence in Somalia. That is why they did this attack today.
The US just recently announced the death of the new leader of Al-Shabaab, and just before that, Godane, who was the former leader, was also killed by a drone strike from the US. So you are basically saying that all of these recent attacks taken by Al-Shabaab is a reprisal because of the death of their previous leaders.
Well, Al-Shabaab have stepped up hit-and-run attacks over the last couple of weeks since their leader, Ahmed Godani, was killed last year by a U.S. drone strike. So it seems that Al-Shabaab are now back on their feet and they are now doing everything they can. In Mogadishu alone, in the last couple of days, they have been hitting different areas, especially around the airport. Attacking the airport, which is where the main base of the African Union presence is in Mogadishu. So it really describes the situation here.
It describes really the situation, yeah.
Mohammed Odoa speaking from Mogadishu. And before a recap of the main stories we've been covering, first here's another segment of Crossroads Generation.
Deutsche Welle, learning by ear. Listen up, shape your future.
Good day to you and welcome back to Crossroads Generation.
We're standing at the crossroads. We're looking for our way. Crossroads Generation, our future stands today.
We're in the middle of our third season called Facing the Future, and things have been tough for our young heroes lately. 18-year-old Mercy and her boyfriend Nikki haven't been doing so well as a couple. The reasons are Mercy's 3-year-old daughter Linda and Nikki's mother.
Worried about you, Nikki, and I don't think she's good for you. She has a child with another man, and
I know that, and I'm trying to come to terms with it, but you reminding me about it all the time doesn't make it any easier.
The father of Mercy's child is Dan, who recently tried to make contact with Mercy and her daughter for the first time since Linda was born, but Mercy sent him away, and things don't look too good for Dan right now. Meanwhile, Mercy's parents have other things on their minds. Her father, Msoto, was involved in a dirty deal some years ago when he sold his own newborn baby to the politician Mukaraba. Msoto's wife, Lulu, has been fighting to get her daughter back, and last time, she got a call from Inspector Mary.
Lulu, I'm also calling to tell you that the case against Mukaraba will be going to court next week.
Oh, thank God. Finally.
But he still doesn't know that your husband is going to testify. He mustn't find out about that until it's time. You understand?
Let's quickly sneak into the courtroom to start this 12th episode entitled Unidentified Objects.
Court is in session. Judge Ray presiding.
We are here in the matter of the alleged illegal adoption of the child named Joy, now 4 years old. The accused is Moses Mukaraba. He is here with his lawyer. The prosecutor will be assisted by Inspector Mary, who has been following the case from the beginning. Prosecutor, please start with the opening submissions.
Thank you, Your Honor. The case was brought to Inspector Mary's attention when Lulu Msoto started coming regularly to the police station, asking for help with finding her baby. On further inquiry, we found that the girl's father had sold the baby to the accused without the mother's permission and in breach of our country's adoption law. This is clearly a case of illegal adoption. I ask this court to dispense justice, and I am ready to present the results of our inquiry into the case. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you, Prosecutor. May I ask the accused's lawyer to present her opening declaration?
Thank you, Your Honor. Mr. Mukaraba is a person of high standing in society, and as such, many seek to discredit him for political reasons. The defense will prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that this is nothing other than a made-up case intended to slander my client and damage his chances in the forthcoming election. Thank you, Your Honor.
Silence in court. Prosecutor, please call your first witness.
Mrs. Seda, please step forward.
Please state your name for the record.
My name is Wilmina Seda, my son.
Silence in court. You will be silent in my courtroom, or I'll have you all thrown out. Mrs. Seda, you will address the court properly.
Yes, the court.
It's yes, Your Honor.
Yes, Your Honor.
All right. What do you do for a living, Mrs. Seda?
I am a midwife, and I was there when the little baby girl was born.
Skeletons? Why would someone import skeletons? Sometimes I just don't believe these newspaper articles. Oh my, I'm so hungry. But I can't eat now. I need to lose weight. And I'm so tired again. Hello, Jumbe speaking.
Hello, Dad.
Hey there, Nikki, my son. How are you? It's been a while since you called or came to visit. I know you're not on such good terms with your mother, but you can't stay away forever, you know.
Well, I'm calling you right now, aren't I?
That's true. So, how are you?
I'm fine, Dad.
Are you sure, son? You don't need anything? Money?
No, thanks, I'm fine. You know I'm working part-time at the gym. So, how are you, Dad? You sound a bit strange.
I'm fine. Don't worry. Just a slight headache. Listen, I...
Dad, are you okay? Hello? Hello, Dad? What's happening? Are you okay? Hello? Hello?
No job, no money, stupid supervisor. Who fired someone for being 5 minutes late?
Hey, Dan.
Oh, Billy, what are you doing here?
Hey, duck, duck, bunny boy, duck.
What?
Duck.
What the hell is that? And what's that smell?
Man, you've just been missiled.
Oh, shit. What is that?
What you just said, shit.
What?
Ever heard of flying toilets?
Huh?
Someone just threw shit on you. You were lucky it was in a plastic bag. Although it looks like the bag wasn't closed properly.
No. Get it off.
Hey, don't come too close. You stink. Here, use this stick to scrape it off.
I will kill that miserable son of a... Where did it come from?
Don't bother. You'll never find them in this crowded slum. That's why I call them UFOs.
What the hell is that?
Unidentified flying objects.
Ew. Disgusting. I have to get rid of this shirt. What are you doing here anyway, Billy? Why aren't you at the building site?
They fired me too.
What? Why?
It was me who left those bags of cement on the balcony.
Why did you do that?
Thought it would be easier to carry them the next day. Didn't think it was going to rain.
Oh, Billy, that's so stupid.
But it was just one mistake. I've never made any others. I even offered to pay for it out of my salary, but the boss refused to listen.
So, now what?
I don't know, Dan. I guess we both have to find a new job. Preferably without a boss to boss us around.
Yeah. Hey, seriously, you know what? We should be our own bosses.
Ah, good idea.
Kadu, Banda, can't you even clean up after yourselves? You leave your dirty cups and plates lying around everywhere.
That's a girl's job.
Yeah.
Our sister must used to do it.
Your sister is now away at university, and I think it's high time you learned that boys and men can also help at home.
No, wait. Come on, Mom. Don't switch off the TV.
Instead of helping me with the housework, you wake up and the first thing you think of is the TV. If you don't behave better, I'm going to sell it.
No, Mom, please don't.
We'll clean up after ourselves every day from now on.
Good. Now wash those plates while I see who's at the door.
Hi,
see
Lulu.
What you've done, Karim.
Soto, what do you want now?
I thought I'd stop by on my way into town. I'm going to pray and I'd like to take my boys with me.
I don't want to.
Yeah, I'm coming. Can I go, Mom? Please?
Neither of you will go. You just promised to help me here.
Shut up, Kadu. But I want to. I'm part of the community. That's what Dad said. Right, Dad?
Yeah.
You two wash those plates like I told you. And Msoto, I'd like to have a word with you.
And that's it for today. I hope you'll join us next time to know what's in store for our young heroes in Crossroads Generation. If you missed one of the previous episodes, you'll find them on our webpage dw.de/LBE. And you can also follow us on Facebook and leave your comments there. Bye!
And now a reminder of the main stories that we've covered for you in the last 25 minutes. Zambia's ruling party, the Patriotic Front, begins the campaign trail for the by-election scheduled to take place in 2 weeks' time from now. A suicide bomber kills 4 people after ramming his vehicle into a security convoy. Al-Shabaab claims responsibility. And we've also been hearing about a Ghanaian vigilante group which calls itself Boko Haram after the Nigerian Islamist sect. And with that, we come to the end of this edition of Africa Link. For comments and suggestions, as usual, you can send an email to feedback.africa@dw.de, a letter to Africa Link, DW 53110 Bonn, Germany, or an SMS to country code 49160-957-59510. Remember, the email to send your comments and suggestions is feedback.africa@dw.de. A postal address is Africa Link, DW 53110 Bonn, Germany, or an SMS to country code 49160-957-59510. And I'm Isaac Mugabe in Bonn, wishing you a pleasant day ahead.